Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning. On this Tuesday, August 12, Catherine Lamfer is in for John Hockenberry, who's away. This morning, we have some new developments on the crisis between Russia and the Republic of Georgia. Today, Russian President Dmitry Medvedev ordered a halt to military action in Georgia, saying it had punished Georgia enough and restored security for civilians and Russian peacekeepers in the breakaway South Ossetia region. But the signals are mixed. Russian forces are still authorized to fire on enemies in the region, and Russia is making what some call belligerent demands. The foreign minister says Georgian President Mikhail Saakashvili should step down and that Georgia should leave South Ossetia for good. Stephen Eek is the Russian affairs analyst for our partner, the BBC World Service, and he joins us now. Thanks for being with us, Stephen.
You're more than welcome. So, very interesting day. We have now the fifth day of this conflict between Russia and Georgia over the breakaway regions of South Ossetia and Abkhazia. Let's not forget there are two of them. But an interesting day diplomatically, given that the French leader, Nicolas Sarkozy, is in Moscow. He's talking to President Dmitry Medvedev of Russia and appears to have been part of this process that's led to Mr. Medvedev saying Russia is actually going to stop the active part of its military operations, although it is going to leave its armed forces very much in South Ossetia and Abkhazia. At the same time, slightly later on today, we have the leaders of five former communist countries, now quite anti-Russian countries in Eastern Europe, Poland, Ukraine, Lithuania, Latvia and Estonia, off to see President Saakashvili in Tbilisi in Georgia. His position now looks quite confused if you think about it in a wider perspective. Russia has said it isn't going to move to try to remove him. It doesn't want to do regime change, but it would be rather better for everyone were he to actually step down. Mr. Saakashvili, I'm more than certain, has no intention of doing that whatsoever. And so we have these five Eastern European heads of state heading off to Georgia to give him moral support.
Stephen, what do you make of the fact that the Russian foreign minister, right before the Russian president said they would halt action in Georgia, the foreign minister called for the Georgian president to step down? They came very close together in timing. What to make of that?
Well, it's quite easy to read signals. You know, are there any kind of differences between the foreign policy people in Moscow and the president and his campaign himself? The one thing we can say with 100% certainty is that the person running this whole show from the Russian perspective appears to have been Vladimir Putin, the former president and now, of course, the prime minister, who has very close links with the Russian security apparatus, with the Russian military, and has been the person really all over the Russian response and in control of the Russian operation to events in South Ossetia. The Georgians, I'm more than certain, listening to their diplomats and their representatives here in Europe, really didn't expect such a harsh response from the Russians, and they still insist they were right in launching the operation to retake South Ossetia on Thursday evening last week. But the situation we have now is that Russia is in full control of those two separatist regions of Georgia and has actually created a kind of sanitary cordon around them by mounting a certain limited incursion into Georgian territory itself. And Russia, of course, as we've now heard, has no intention of leaving.
And Stephen, these tensions have been simmering for decades, if not centuries, in one form of another. It seems the world community was quite stunned by Russia's actions and quite alarmed at the quickness and the directness with which they moved straight into the breakaway republics and then threatened the Republic of Georgia. Should they have been?
Well, the tensions between Georgia and Russia have been mounting for a long time now, and especially since the Rose Revolution at the end of 2003 that brought Mikhail Saakashvili to power, pro-Western leader who stated that his ultimate aim is to have Georgia join NATO and the European Union. Russia said all along it would not allow that to happen. It would use all the means at its disposal to stop that, to prevent it. Maybe the West does have a certain case to answer in not taking that seriously enough. It's been obvious over the last 3 or 4 months that Russia has been building up its armed forces on the Russian side of the border with Georgia, an ominous signal that perhaps we didn't pay enough attention to. But there is, of course, now a very serious situation because we have a sort of three-way crisis of relations between Russia and Georgia, between the separatist regions of Georgia and Georgia, and between Russia and the West. A very, very serious mess.
Stephen, very quickly, what are you going to be watching for today?
I'm going to be watching to see what happens in Abkhazia, which is a much more prized potential possession for Georgia and the Russians than South Ossetia, and also watching to see whether fighting on the ground calms down, because in the South Caucasus, these things very often acquire their own logic and become quite unstoppable.
Stephen Eek, thank you.
Thank you.
Stephen Eek is a BBC Russian affairs analyst, and he came to us from London. Catherine?
Thanks, Adora. We're going to go now to former ambassador James Collins. He was a former ambassador to Russia during the Clinton administration for the first year of the Bush administration. He's joining us by phone from Maryland. Thanks for joining us.
Good to be with you, Catherine.
Now, you were our man in Moscow, given that you were keeping track of what's going on this morning. How effective do you think the comments by President Bush yesterday about how the Russian behavior was unacceptable, how did that push to some of the results we're seeing today?
Well, I think it's hard to attribute, any result to one or another statement, but I think certainly the toughening position that Mr. Bush articulated was listened to in Moscow. However, I think also it's very important that President Sarkozy has arrived and has with him a signed ceasefire agreement signed by the Georgian president. So the pressure certainly on Russia to halt its military operations have been mounting. And I think probably that combined with the fact that the Russians themselves are well into Georgia and have achieved, I suppose, a substantial military success from their point of view, goes a long way to explain the new development.
Well, then, what kind of diplomatic solution is it if they're already in Georgia? Supposedly there are reports of Russian warplanes bombing the town of Gori today, and they've said that they're still authorizing their forces to fire on enemies in South Ossetia.
Well, I think the first order of diplomatic business for Mr. Sarkozy and all the rest of the international system that is involved is going to be to consolidate a ceasefire, make it real. I'm sure the second part, in one way or another, will be the terms under which they will achieve Russian withdrawal from Georgian territory. I think, however, the real difficult problem will remain that of the South Ossetia province, which is claiming it will not return to Georgian control. And there is the uncertain situation in the other breakaway province of Abkhazia, which I think Stephen just mentioned, where it's very hard to know exactly what's happening and whether or not the Abkhazians are going to see themselves as part of the ceasefire arrangement.
How does this redraw the map for Russia and its neighboring countries, so many of whom the United States has tried to welcome in the democratic fold, if you will?
Well, it seems to me that if nothing else, the Russians have made it clear that when they say that they will not find any expansion of NATO to include Georgia and Ukraine an acceptable step, this is going to be taken a lot more seriously. They have talked about using all means at their disposal. Well, this military action was a means that I think has in fact shocked a lot of the international community. By its first of all, the scale of it and the rapidity with which it took place, and also the sort of completely cynical approach to the problem of dealing with issues in one of Georgia's provinces. So I think
Ambassador, was it a message? Perhaps what influence does the U.S. have now in dealing with Russia?
Well, I think it has no more or less influence than it did before. The military intervention has not been an option. However, the United States does, along with the rest of the European community, have a very substantial set of points of influence, from economics to trade to Russia's involvement in security systems, so forth. I mean, these Russia does want to be and need to be a part of the European security system. And so I'm sure that the pressures now are going to be very substantial for Russia to put itself back in better standing by resolving this conflict with Georgia in some acceptable way.
James Collins, I want to thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you very
much. That is the former U.S. ambassador to Russia, James Collins. Of course, we're going to keep following this story here on The Takeaway. I'm Catherine Lanford.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.